The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
How many of you know when Jesus says something's going to happen, it is going to happen? Now, there are times where the Lord warns us about things, and He does it in order for us to repent or turn away or pray or to avoid disasters. But then there are other times where Jesus just says, that's how it's going to be. And there's nothing you can do about it except for when you start to see it happen, you're going, oh, yeah. God told us about this. So this is one of those things. The destruction of the temple was a foretold event. The Bible is the only religious text, and I hesitate to call the Bible that, but you know what I mean. It's God's Word, okay? But for the world's viewpoint, it's the only religious text in the world that accurately predicts future events. So the disciples thought that was inconceivable, but Jesus said it was going to happen. Verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately and said, when will this happen? Talking about the temple's destruction. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? That's three things, not one thing. In the disciples' minds, it may very well have been one thing. But I want you to remember this. When you're looking at the interaction between Jesus and the disciples, it'll help you greatly to understand this. The Jewish people had prayed for their Messiah to come to redeem them from the oppressors, and for Messiah to come and set up His earthly kingdom and rule and reign over Israel and destroy their enemies. So when they're praying for their Messiah, they're praying for some sort of a warrior king who would come and wipe out the Romans. At this particular time, it's Roman oppression. Israel was oppressed by different people at different times. Every single time, it was due to their turning away from God. But that's what they were looking for. So when you look at the interaction between Jesus and disciples, it always has that slant. When they call Him Messiah, when they say, you're the Messiah, they are literally thinking in their mind, you're the one who's going to set up the earthly kingdom, and you know, we're going to take up arms, you're going to overthrow them, we're going to be in your army. They didn't understand. They could see the prophecies in Psalms about the coming warrior king, but they could not understand the prophecies throughout the Bible, including Isaiah 53 that prophesied a suffering Savior. That didn't fit their paradigm, so they didn't see it that way. So they're asking Jesus, when will this happen? Talking about the destruction of the temple and the sign of your coming, and what about the end of days? And I want you to watch what Jesus says. Verse 4, Jesus answered them, watch out that no one deceives you, didn't He? Watch out that no one deceives you. You can read this same text in Mark's Gospel, in the 13th chapter, in Luke's Gospel, in the 21st chapter, and the wording will be a tiny bit different, but every single one of the three Gospels that record this interaction between Jesus and disciples, where they pointed out how beautiful the temple is, and He told them it ain't going to always be that way, this ain't going to get destroyed. Every single time they ask Him about the future, He says one thing. The first thing He says, every time, Matthew, Mark, Luke, every time, He said, be careful, watch out, see to it that no one deceives you. That was what He started with. And then He began to talk about how there'll be this, that, rumors, war, all the stuff. You read that on your own later. Here's what I want us to focus on. I don't want us to get off of focusing on this. The Bible's very clear. We preached it last week about in Thessalonians about the end time delusion. And because people refuse to believe the truth, they will believe the lies. Because they refuse to believe the truth of God's Word, the truth about Jesus, when the lie comes down the road, it's going to sound good to them. And Jesus was saying this to the disciples privately. There are no human beings on earth that were ever given such an intimate glimpse into what God is really like. That they literally had the Son of God who became flesh and blood, the Word Himself became flesh and blood, walked on the earth and demonstrated for us what the Father's like by doing signs and wonders and miracles and speaking truths and preaching truths and helping them to try to understand things from the Word that they had twisted to suit their own perspectives. When you look at what Jesus does wherever He goes, He was teaching, He was preaching, and He was healing. He was teaching because they needed to learn. He was preaching, which means declaring, because they needed to hear. And he was healing to confirm that what he was saying was the truth. The disciples were right there. They ate what he ate. They slept where he slept. They leaned up against him and heard his heartbeat. How close are they to Jesus? He told them, the number one thing that you need to be mindful about concerning the when, the what, the where, the how, is not details. It's deception. That's what you need to be aware of. You need to be aware the deception is coming, and it's coming in the last days like never before in the history of the earth. Because without deception, the enemy, the devil, is absolutely powerless. Do you hear me? He's a toothless lion. The Bible never calls him a roaring lion. It says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'll tell you who he devours. He devours the people that he deceives. Anybody who's not deceived, the enemy cannot devour them, because all they've got to do is call on the name of Jesus in truth and sincerity, and the enemy loses all power, whether you're awake or asleep. How many of you can testify to that one? Be having one of them dreams, you know. Can't say nothing, can't move, can't do nothing. The enemy's tormenting you with it. Scary. And you just are, you know, you can't even say it right. Your lips are asleep. Boom! The power of God explodes onto the scene. That dream is gone. Amen. The name of Jesus is all power and authority. Amen. But the devil, his name is slanderer. That means he accuses, he makes up lies, brings false accusations against you, against me, against whoever. Anyone who'll stand up for truth, he's going to accuse you. A lot of people being accused of a lot of things, okay? But no one gets overwhelmed or overtaken by the enemy unless they first get deceived. How did Adam and Eve make their huge mistake that we're all experiencing? Deception. Eve said, "The serpent deceived me, so I ate." Right? And God did not say to her, the Lord did not say, "That's not true." Did he? He spoke to Adam first, then to Eve, and when she said, "The serpent deceived me," he turned immediately to the deceiver, the serpent, and cursed him. Because deception is real. And the thing that's so powerful about deception is no one who is deceived believes they're deceived. If you become deceived, you won't know it. You might be like the frog in the kettle. I know it's an old illustration, but it still works. The reason why when they put him in the cold water and turn the fire on, he don't jump out is because it's not instantaneously hot. But he is deceived into thinking that he is safe. And the temperature slowly rises, and before the frog realizes it, it's too hot and he can't get out. He wouldn't have been in there in the first place if he wasn't deceived. Amen. Let me give you what the Lord told me yesterday. With every fiber of my being, I know that this was a rhema revelation word from the Holy Spirit to me for us and whoever hears it. Here's what he said. Deception is the enemy's greatest weapon. Deception opens the doors to manipulation. And then here's where I knew God was speaking to me. And he said, manipulation leads to capitulation. And I said, well, who but what? You know what I did? I said, hey, Google. I go, okay. What does capitulation mean? And I wrote it down. Capitulation. Listen, when God uses words that you don't know what they mean and they rhyme, and when you look up the definition, it makes perfect sense. You know it's God. It is the action of surrendering or ceasing to resist an opponent or a demand. Capitulation is the act of surrendering or ceasing to resist an opponent or a demand. Opponent or a demand. I want you to lock it in mind. Capitulation. Capitulation, we'd call it throwing in the towel, giving up, surrendering. Those are more like we would use. But when the Lord spoke this to me, remember this. He said, the greatest weapon the enemy has is deception. And I heard that. It's like, mm-hmm. He goes, because deception leads to manipulation. What is manipulation? It's where someone can cause things to happen. They can manipulate. They can force things. And manipulation then leads to capitulation, which is, what does it mean? In your own words, what does it mean? Giving up, throwing in the towel, surrendering, stop resisting. I like that one. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's toward the back, way back there, if you don't know your Bible very well yet. First, I didn't always know it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Y'all ever be watching a preacher and he'll go, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And he goes, and he starts reading like that quick. Y'all ever have that? And I'm like, dude, slow down. You tell us to turn there and you don't even give us a chance to turn there. I'm like, come on. If I didn't want you to look at it, I wouldn't have told you where to go. I want you to look at it. Say amen. Amen. I'm a little different, neighbor. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In other words, sometimes things take a little time. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That is the NIV translation. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Look up. Humble yourself to God. That's step one. That means surrender to God's authority. That means make God's opinion the truth and everybody else's opinion, whatever. If they disagree with God, then you go, they're wrong. If they agree with God, you go, they're right. That's submitting yourself to God. Make God the final authority. I think I heard that somewhere. Celebrate every victory. Be faith-focused, not fear-focused. Don't be disappointed or distracted. And make God's word the final authority. Heard that somewhere. It's a good word to live by. God said that deception is the enemy's greatest weapon. Because deception leads to manipulation. In other words, he can control your actions if he can deceive you. And when he starts controlling your actions, he will get you to stop resisting him, and you'll just go along with whatever he wants to do. Okay? We got that? That's why deception is so powerful. Because he'll manipulate you with it to the point where you just give up. You don't resist the devil at all. As a matter of fact, most people who are deceived, they go from a point of maybe they were resisting him at first. But the stronger the deception gets, the deeper the deception is, they go from resisting to assisting. You ever see people do things that are literally, you just look at them and go, why are you doing that to yourself? Because of deception. If they could see it for what it really was, they wouldn't be doing it. Amen. So your enemy goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and our job is this, and what we're supposed to do is resist him. Resist, not assist. Got it? Take a stand. Push back. These are words you hear in our society today. Push back. The devil's pushy. You got to push back. He'll take whatever you allow him to take. He is a thief by nature. A liar from the beginning. A murderer. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's what he does. He doesn't do anything. He's not a party guy. He's not somebody cool to hang out with. He's a destroyer. Now, he'll play party with people. He will play party, but he's only setting them up. That's all that's going on. He'll bring people wealth. He'll bring people power. He'll bring people influence, and he has the ability to do it. When he tempted Jesus, if he didn't have anything to offer, Jesus wouldn't have been tempted. He only has it because Adam and Eve turned it over to him. And in my life, he don't have that power anymore because Jesus came, and I'm born again, redeemed from that, and I take it back. But for everybody that's not under the authority of Jesus, Satan still is the authority over their life. I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, read your Bible. The Bible says that when we were all dead in our sins and transgressions, Ephesians 2, when we followed the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's at work in those who are now disobedient, you see somebody acting a fool and living an ungodly life, it's not because they're choosing to do that necessarily. They're being led about like they got a hook in their nose and they don't even know it. And we used to be them. That explains some stuff, don't it? Amen. But Jesus came and he's truth. And truth destroys deception. Truth. You got to speak the truth. You got to look at the truth. You got to hold to the truth. Don't entertain lies. Don't entertain lies. If you know you have the truth, don't go looking for it somewhere else. because you already have it. Listen to me. You don't need the latest book to bring a truth that, oh, something, I've read the whole Bible, but there's still something. I'm just missing something. I'm going to look out here and look at this bestseller and look at this and look at that. Look at this person and that. You're in a very, very dangerous position if God's Word is not enough. God's Word is more than enough.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any needs you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
For one thing, God's Word promises us Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, and He is the Spirit of truth. In John 16:13, Jesus said so. Let's turn there and look at it, because sometimes we don't see things with our eyes. We tend to forget. John 16:13, Jesus in the upper room with the disciples on the night of His betrayal said some very important things. John 16, well, I'm going to start in 12 because that just suits me real good. I have much more to say to you than you can now bear. That's why I started in 12. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, Jesus talking about the coming Holy Spirit, He will do what? What will He do, church? He said He'll guide you into all truth, all truth. That means truth about everything all the time. That means truth about money, truth about politics, truth about sickness, disease, viruses, truth about wars. Anything you want to point your finger at, you can throw a rock in any direction, hit any talking point, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth on that subject, if you'll listen. Amen. He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. How's He going to do it? He will not speak on His own. Everything the Holy Spirit says to you comes from Father God. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you. So you could say it this way. The Holy Spirit is my interpreter between me and Father God. Holy Spirit's going to put it in words that I can get. And how many of you know that's different for every single one of us? Not one single one of us talks the same exact way. What will hit me right between the eyes might go right past you, and vice versa. And God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about, well, I got to get learned like Pastor Dwight so that I know what capitulate means. I didn't know what it meant either. I'd look it up. But God knew that if He spoke that to me, it would catch my attention. And it did. He might have spoke it to you in a different way. But He still would say to you that deception is the enemy's greatest weapon. Because through deception, the enemy wants to control you. That's a word for manipulation, right? And by controlling you, he wants to get you to give up and quit and stop resisting him. Stop standing up for truth. Stop speaking up for truth. I was warned that if I spoke too much truth, that not everybody would want to hear it. And I said, well, God, what do I do with that? He said, speak my truth. You're not here to please people. You're here to please me. Sir, yes, sir. And people who love truth, love truth. But people who love darkness hate the light. Amen. So be it. If God be for us, come on, finish it for me. Because who can be against us? So Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit was going to speak to us, and the Holy Spirit was going to speak to us and guide us into all truth. And if you don't believe you can hear the Holy Spirit, you're wrong. I'm sorry to be that blunt, but you just are. Because here's a fact. You wouldn't be hearing me now if you couldn't hear the Holy Spirit. Because you were drawn either into this building or drawn to Facebook or drawn to the radio program or however you're hearing it, you were drawn to hear it. And you were not drawn by the devil, I promise you that. And you were not drawn by your flesh, I promise you that. You were drawn by the Spirit of God. It may be so subtle that you don't even know what it is. I didn't hear God tell me to listen, but you're listening. And the more attuned we become at recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more clearly we hear Him. And the less of our own personal agenda that we try to keep it, I want it my way, the more surrendered, the more crucified we live, the clearer His voice is. Every time I cater to my flesh, I'm dulling down the influence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Every time I respond to the Spirit of God, I'm increasing my ability to sense His presence, His voice, His leading. How important is that when we're facing a foe who's a spiritual being, an angel, fallen as he is, but he has lived for thousands and thousands of years and he studied humanity the whole time. And his number one thing is to cause you and I to fall and falter and fail so that he can steal, kill, and destroy from us in an effort for him to hurt God. Because he can't touch God. He can't touch us either unless we let him. Born-again Christian. Now, if you ain't a born-again Christian, you're devil bait. You're like the guy swimming in shark-infested waters with your blood sunscreen on. I would strongly suggest you change that. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and become a born-again Christian, you better get on with the program. Because I will promise you this, the devil is mad. Because the church is awake and alive and the power of God is in the church. God is doing miracles. We can attest to that. Signs and wonders. Glory to God. So the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. That's middle of your Bible. If you find big old book of Psalms, you went a little too far. Proverbs chapter 3. Boy, if this one ain't marked up in your Bible, I hope your Bible's new. This ought to be marked up in your Bible. Boy, this got more meat on this bone than a tomahawk steak. Glory to God. Somebody going to buy me a tomahawk steak sometime. I keep mentioning them. I'm dropping hints. I don't know. Somebody told me the other day they never had one. I think I'll just see if I can buy them one. And I'm going to tell you something. When they are cooked right, ooh, lordy. You don't have to ask, did God make beef? Yes. Them globalists can quit eating if they want to, but I'm going to keep eating what God gave me. Amen. Proverbs 3. Let's look at verse 1. We'll go 1 through 6 for starters. My son, don't forget my teaching. Act like this is God talking to you, okay? My child, my son, don't forget my teaching. Keep my commands in your heart. They'll prolong your life many years and they'll bring you prosperity. Now, when I say prosperity, please don't think about your billfold. That's part of it. That is certainly part of prosperity. If you can't buy a sucker because you ain't got a nickel, that's a long time ago, wasn't it? That's not prosperity. It is not prosperity to be impoverished. That's not prosperity. But money alone is not prosperity. Amen. God wants to prosper you financially, but more importantly than that, He wants to prosper you in every other way. They will prolong your life. The words of God in your heart will prolong your life many years and bring you, I wrote, true prosperity. Verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Those are two words that are always used to describe God. Love and faithfulness. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4, then when you've done that, when you've got God's word in your heart and you're keeping love and faithfulness near you, then you win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, you probably heard this one, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, quit trying to figure it all out yourself and don't go by what things look like. In all your ways, everything in your life, acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. He'll show you what to do. Didn't like what Jesus said? Spirit of truth coming. He's going to guide you into all truth by speaking to you what He hears. Simple as that. Next verse, 7 and 8. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun or avoid evil. Verse 8, this will bring health to your body. What will reverencing the Lord and shunning evil do for you? What will it do? It'll bring health to your body. That's talking about your physical health, isn't it? That's an absolute ironclad. God said it. You can't change it. If I hide the Word of God in my heart and I reverence God and I stay away and avoid what is evil, it'll be health to my body. God said so. And nourishment to my bones. Do you know where a large part of your immune system is at? In your bone marrow. You need a God-blessed immune system. And here the Word of God is teaching us that what we do with God's Word and the reverence we hold God in our soul, in our spirit, actually affect our physical health. Now with that in mind, I suggest this. Keep your immune system up. Keep your prayer guard up. And beware of deception. Right now, they are already mandating people to wear masks that didn't work before. They proved that and they admitted they didn't work. If you're not wearing an N95 mask, a medical grade N95 mask, you're just wasting your time. If you choose to do that, when they say do that, make sure you're wearing one of those. Did you catch that? I'm not preaching rebellion. I'm preaching resistance to deception. They created something to inject in people and they called it a vaccine, but it didn't work. And people died from it. And by their own admission, it didn't stop you from getting it. Well, if it don't stop you from getting it, then it's not a vaccine. But I'll tell you what will work for you. Faith in God's Word, in God's promises. Did He not tell us in Proverbs that if you hide my Word in your heart and you revere me and you depart from evil, this shall be health to your bones? Did He not promise us that? I can find you 100 similar promises in the Word of God and probably still not be done. But you have got, and I have got, to keep our eyes on God's truth. You pray about all of it. That's all I'm going to tell you to do. You pray about all of it. And whatever Holy Spirit tells you to do, that's what you need to do. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But He has given us a spirit of power, love, and what? A sound mind. That's not a mind that's panicking and reacting. The bottom line, the Lord is our confidence. Are you still in Proverbs? That third chapter. Let's go down a few more verses. Let's go down to verse 21. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Don't let them out of your sight. They'll be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. And then you'll go on your way in safety. But wisdom and discernment in your heart will protect you and keep you safe. It'll tell you where to go and when to go and how to go. Or not go. It'll tell you what to do and what not to do. Wisdom and discernment. Hallelujah. If we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, if we neglect the Word of God and His promises that are going to keep us safe during these troubling times, we're in trouble. But how many know we are not in trouble? Because we're not people who turn our back on the Word of God. And we're not people who don't want to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. We want to hear the Holy Spirit. Amen. Watch out that no one deceives you. Who did He say that to? His closest followers. Watch out that no one deceives you. Amen. Lord, we worship You and we thank You for who You are and how You are. And that, Lord, because of You, we have nothing to fear. Nothing. Lord, we revere You and we honor You. We esteem You as God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And Father, we expect Your promises to be made manifest in our lives. We expect healing and we expect provision. We expect peace and grace. We put our hope and trust in You and in You alone. And we ask Your grace and Your blessing in the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, if there be someone listening to us who does not yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, You'd move in their heart. Simply pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, save me, and make me Yours. I ask it in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.